This is Sakari Singh.
And this is Rita Cannon.
And we're at the Tea Garden in Uptown Minneapolis. We just got done seeing 500 Days of Summer. So, Rita, what did you think of 500 Days of Summer?
I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I had reservations about it. I was like, I'm going to see it because it looks cute, but I can already tell that, you know, there are things I'm not going to like. And there were things I didn't like. Mm-hmm. But generally, I really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it as well, but I didn't like it as much as I thought. Maybe I just had higher expectations. And we just
you were more enthusiastic about seeing it than I was.
So maybe we're just evening out at the same place in reality.
Even in the middle.
But the first thing I want to say is I'm pretty sure this film was designed to make you fall in love with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh my god, I know. Well, the first thing about the movie is that the casting is excellent because Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel are both so attractive and charming that I would watch them do anything.
They're such beautiful brunettes.
Yes, and they're so, like, hipstery and cool. And it's like,
But not like they're trying to.
Yeah, not like in an obnoxious way, but like, yeah, they picked the two people that, you know, indie guys and girls love.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Joseph Gordon-Levitt has, like, ties the width of a pencil. But, you know, it doesn't seem like he's trying too hard.
No, it's just, you know.
He's just too hip.
Yeah, he's very cool. He's a handsome guy.
Yeah, and I like the kind of, like, love movie type thing, romance things, where they skip around in time and it ends with a relationship ending, pretty much. But you kind of see how, like, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind or Annie Hall.
My favorite movie.
That genre, that's, like, the kind of romance movie I like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fun to see.
Yeah, and how much did you pay attention to the numbers when they were being displayed?
I paid attention to the numbers.
Because at first I didn't. I just have a thing where, like, if words are displayed on a screen during a movie, unless it's like a paragraph, my first instinct is to ignore them. And, like, I have that issue when I'm watching trailers, like if they have, like, in a world put up on the screen, like, I don't read it. And then I realize later that I missed something. But at first I wasn't paying attention to the numbers, and then I realized that I had to, but it was like a conscious decision.
Oh, I'm like the opposite. Like, if there's words on the screen, it's really distracting to me. I have to, like, pay attention to them. But
So even though I didn't know where we were specifically, it kind of didn't matter?
No, it didn't really. I mean, it didn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
The only thing you said you didn't like was the sister. There's a little sister that he has that gives him wise advice about relationships, even though she's like 12.
I hate that so much.
It was pretty bad.
No, and I didn't even... She's not in the trailers or anything, and I didn't know she existed until I started reading reviews. And I was like, wow, I'm already dreading those scenes. Mm-hmm. And they were stupid.
They were
like
stupid.
They would be.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything very important. Sakari was saying earlier that we could have given his two friends all the same lines that the sister had, and it would have made a difference, and it would have made more sense.
Yeah.
The sister adds nothing.
Yeah, Okay, so you had a problem with the sister. The sister was kind of lame, but I was like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I had a problem with is he's supposed to be, like, an architect, or, like, he went to school to be an architect, and he does these drawings, and it really bothers me when characters get drawn in movies, because it doesn't make any sense usually, like... He's supposed to be he went to architecture school, and I've never been to architecture school, but I'm pretty sure you have to be able to draft better than that. Like, they do the hipster drawings that they do, like, for, like, Juno poster and, like, the 500 Days of Summer poster, where, like, it's, like, kind of sloppily rendered. You can't make buildings like that. I refuse to believe it.
Now, okay, the whole thing where he was drawing on his walls, were those the walls of his apartment?
I was like, yeah.
By that.
I think it was, like, a giant-ass chalkboard.
Yeah, there's a scene where he has his, like, revelation about, now I've got to concentrate on being an architect and achieving my dreams. So he, like, does this gigantic drawing of a building on a giant chalkboard that would seem to be in his home.
I kind of want one, though.
Yeah, that would be very cool. But, like, it was weird and kind of, like, if he had a giant chalkboard, wouldn't he, like, talk about that because it's awesome?
A lot of things in the movie were blown out of proportion because that's how he perceived them.
Yeah.
And I thought the cutting was really good, where it made drawing seem exciting, when I know when I look at someone draw, it's boring as shit. But when you draw, it's really fun. And, like, when you're really in the mood, like, that was really well done. So I guess I could ignore the giant chalkboard in his room.
Well, it's weird because there are, like, even though there are a lot of, like, fantasy sequences and stuff, like, outside of the fantasy sequences, I feel like it's pretty realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But there were certain points where they kind of departed from that, or they weren't super clear about whether or not they were in a fantasy, like that scene.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of threw me.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another example that I had in my brain, but I totally forgot what it was.
All right, well, we're going to continue this in part 2 since we're just about out of time, so keep listening.